Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One word that gets used in popular culture today is the word lucky. So if we have good weather, when we've planned a special event, we like to say, hey, we sure were lucky with the weather. If we were thinking about an old friend and then accidentally run into them at Starbucks, well, that sure was lucky. Ah. Or if we were about to go through an intersection, but at the last moment we notice something out of the corner of our eye and avoid an accident, what do we say? Boy, that sure was lucky. You may notice that Jesus never uses the word lucky. He does not say, lucky are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, or lucky are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Jesus doesn't use that word because Jesus doesn't believe in luck. He uses the word blessed. And there's a whole world of difference in those words. They come from two completely different world views. The secular worldview says you are the product of random chance. Your life is fully determined through chance. If good things happen to you, you're lucky. If bad things happen to you, you're not lucky. It's all random. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. There's no meaning. There's no purpose to life whatsoever. That is what our secular culture teaches today. Jesus and the rest of the Bible reject that point of view. God's people are not lucky. God's people are blessed. That's why he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Life is not a series of random occurrences. If you are blessed, there is also a blesser, someone who is blessing you. Why? Because they love you and they have a plan for your life. And that person is God, your heavenly Father. You are not an accident. You are created by God for very special reasons and purposes. Your life is not a series of random occurrences. God has a plan for your life. Your life has purpose and meaning. I don't care if you use the word luck or if you wish someone luck. People are smart enough to understand what you mean. I'm not a legalist about that. But I do want you to understand, in reality, you're not lucky or unlucky. There's no such thing. You are not lucky. You are blessed by the Lord. Not just in the good times, though. Jesus makes the point here. We're not just blessed when good things happen to us. We're also blessed when bad things happen to us. We're blessed in the bad times. We're blessed in the hard times. That's what Jesus is telling us in the Beatitudes. Even in the hard times, when it looks like things are hopeless, we're still blessed by the Lord. So let me give you three examples from our text today, Matthew 5, 1 through 12, the Beatitudes. Number one, we're blessed in times of grief. Matthew 5, 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So we're going to start with the hard one, right? Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. How can someone be blessed even in the midst of grief and mourning? Those are some of the most painful emotions a person can feel. And on All Saints Day, you know, that verse hits hard, right? When we sing, for all the saints who from their labors rest, many of us are thinking about some of the important people or family members who have gone ahead of us into heaven, and we're missing them. It hurts. I mean, how am I supposed to feel blessed when I'm hurting because I miss someone? Well, here's the thing. We do mourn and we do grieve, each and every one of us, but blessed is the person who doesn't have to grieve alone. No one should have to grieve alone, and we don't. Psalm 68, verse 6, great verse. Psalm 68, verse 6, God sets the lonely in families. Through the power of baptism, God puts all of us into a family, the family of God, the church. The church is not a civic organization. It's not a fan club. It's not a group of people who got together because we all have the same hobby. It's a family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We've been brought in through the waters of baptism and made part of God's family. And we need to be there for each other in the good times and especially the hard times. Romans 12:15 tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. We're blessed because even in the hardest times, we have a family who will surround us, who will care for us, who will pray for us, who will weep with us. But even if we didn't, even if the church lets us down, or we didn't have a church family to be with, we would never walk the path of grief alone. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is with you always. The Lord is your best friend. He rejoices when you rejoice. He weeps when you weep. And even in times of grief, you are blessed because you never weep alone. The Lord weeps with you, and the Lord is always with you. That's why Jesus says we're blessed, even in the midst of grief. We're blessed in times of grief. Number two, we're blessed in times of conflict. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Matthew 5, verse 9. I don't know about you, but I don't like conflict. Not many people do. In fact, human beings tend to stay away from people who do enjoy conflict. Maybe you've met people like that. No one wants to be around those people. No one wants to, you know, we all want to have more peace in our life. And being around someone who likes conflict doesn't make that possible. But conflict and arguments are hard. Conflict is painful, but it's unfortunately a fact of life because we are imperfect sinners living in an imperfect world. Conflict is going to happen, and we're not going to enjoy it. So what's so blessed about times of conflict? Because every conflict can be an opportunity, the opportunity to become a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Matthew 5, verse 9. You know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and we're going to be saying that a lot during these next few months. He brings us peace by giving us forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins that he earned for us by dying on the cross once and for all. Through that death, he freely and graciously forgives our sins each and every day, giving us peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then he asks us to become peacemakers ourselves, to make peace and bring peace wherever we go, to bring peace to our family, to our church, to our workplace, to our community. Not by winning arguments, not by verbally pummeling people who disagree with us into submission. No, we bring peace through Christ's love and Christ's forgiveness, by showing love to everybody through words and actions, even people who don't love us, and forgiving people when they sin against us. Being a peacemaker gives us the chance to see things differently. Instead of assuming the other person is totally wrong and I'm totally right, instead, with the Holy Spirit, we could think, well, maybe I'm only 1% wrong, and the other person's, you know, the other 99% belongs to the other person. Or maybe even just 2% wrong, or 10%, or 50%, or, okay, it's mostly my fault. We have the chance to confess our sins, and if someone confesses to us, we can forgive them the same way Christ has forgiven us, to bring peace to a difficult situation and the end to a conflict. What a blessing it is to be a peacemaker. They shall be called sons of God. And number three, in times of persecution, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's another tough one. I mean, blessed are the persecuted. That's really hard to talk about. Here in 21st century America, we talk about persecution, but it doesn't really compare to what Christians and some of the Christians in other countries deal with, our brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't really compare with some of the torture, imprisonment, and executions Christians in previous centuries had to endure. I mean, we've been blessed to live in a country which is built on the ideal of religious freedom. And that is a blessing. We are blessed that way. We're not lucky. We're blessed. Thanks be to God. But if that did happen to us, it's very possible that someday it might. Jesus says we're still blessed. How can he say that? Where is the blessing in persecution? Well, that's not going to come from the world. It's going to come from Jesus. He's the one who blesses us, and here's what Jesus says. Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. If people insult you, persecute you, and lie about you, Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. Why? Because that's how all the great heroes of the faith were treated. More importantly, though, Jesus says, great is your reward in heaven. Christian life is not just about the here and now. It's not just about being comfortable. It's not about being comfortable in this life. It's about the reality of eternal life. An eternal life with Jesus that is so great you can't even imagine how great it is. An eternal life where there's nothing but God's love, God's joy, and God's peace. Forever and ever. Every persecution, every pain, every piece of suffering in this world is only temporary. It cannot and will not last forever. But the joy that awaits you in heaven will last forever. And that's what Jesus wants us to focus on. Which brings us to point number four. We are blessed in all times and forever. Whether times are good or whether times are bad, we are blessed. Not just for today, but forever. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The blessings of God are now and forever. Notice how Jesus mentions that the kingdom of God of heaven is ours right now. Poor in spirit, who have recognized their sin, confessed their sin, and received the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, have entered into the kingdom of God already. Jesus doesn't say one day, if you're really good and you're really nice, you might enter into the kingdom of heaven if you're lucky. No, he doesn't say that. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. He says it as a present reality. For all those who believe in him as their Savior, yours is the kingdom of heaven right now. Your salvation is not in the future. Today is the day of salvation. Your salvation has already been won by Jesus Christ. The kingdom is already yours. It's a sure thing. It's a done deal. Or as Luther says, the kingdom ours remaineth. We don't have to wonder if we're one day going to heaven. Jesus wants us to be sure right now. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Notice it doesn't say that you may hope you have eternal life, that you may think you have eternal life, that you may guess that you have eternal life. No, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. We don't have to hope or guess. We know we have eternal life. God doesn't leave it up to luck or to random chance. We're not lucky, we're blessed. Each and every day of our life, now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.